We have the victory, and now let's go into the teaching for tonight, which is entitled Pathways to Healing. So welcome again to semester two of Healing School. Pastor Joshua began semester two this past Sunday with an introduction to semester two. But in the process of introducing us to semester two, he gave us a wonderful overview of all of ABC, all 7.5 years of teaching that has come of through this ministry. It has come out of the Word of God. And so we're excited to move on to semester two. And we know it's going to be wonderful and exciting, and that you all are on board, ready to roll with us. Praise the Lord. Well, with the title Pathways to Healing, we are reminded that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. The Word makes that very clear. Jesus is the only way to the Father. To the God we call Father. He is the God. As far as we're concerned, the one, the only. So, praise God. There's only one way to God through Jesus, but one way to the Father through Jesus, but there are multiple pathways to healing. God is such a good God. He's a loving God. He knows that we are not all at the same place. He knows that we're all on different steps along our journey with Jesus in our growing in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. And so he's not making us wait. Oh, you have to achieve this and this and this and this, and then you can get your healing. Or, you know, instead of waiting, maybe, okay, those of you who are here now, jump on board. Anybody else comes along? Sorry. That's not how God works. No, these are sacramental stepping stones. These are foundational stepping stones instituted by Jesus himself for more grace in our lives. And let's remember that people have been and continue to be healed in any and all of these different steps. The thing to remember is that Jesus has paid the full, complete price, right? So it all belongs to us now. But remember that nothing in the Christian life is automatic. Why? We have an enemy. You know, if we were in the Garden of Eden, maybe we're already in heaven. You know, we have no enemy, and God says it, and Jesus paid the price, and boom, it's ours. That would be wonderful, right? But right now, we've got to remember we have an enemy who's trying to keep it from us. So we need to take our faith steps of action. We need to do something. Remember, in James, it says, when you take a step toward God, he takes a step toward you. Well, step one is Jesus paid the price for the healing. It all belongs to us. He paid the price for everything, every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every pain. It's all paid for. No matter what you can think of, no matter what the devil can think of, Jesus has paid the price. And it belongs to us now. But Jesus isn't there waving a magic wand saying, okay, you get your healing, you get your healing. Oh, sorry, you'll have to wait a little longer. That isn't how it works. It's really up to us at this point. He's done his part. Now we need to do our part to receive. We don't have to earn it. He's already paid for it. He's already said it belongs to us. It's our inheritance. But we do have to do something. We have to receive, even as with salvation. Remember that we had to speak it with our mouths and believe in our hearts, and then salvation was ours. So we had to do something to receive. Jesus gets the hard part. We get the easy part, really. We just have to remember that it isn't sit back and wait for it to fall in your lap. No, we want to press in, and we want to grab what belongs to us, and we want to steal it and let that devil know he has no right to our healing. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that one strong amen. I know in our minds we're all saying yes, but we need to amen it out loud sometimes too. Okay, so sacramental stepping stones. Turning to the outline, A, number one, is be born again. And that comes from John 3:3. And we know that the Word of God says that we're born of water in the natural, but we're born of the Spirit. The Spirit has caused us to be reborn, if you will, into the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit. And how many times are we born again? Anybody? Okay, I saw a finger go up. Once! We're born again one time. We don't have to get born again, again, and again, and again. It's a one-time deal. Once we're born again and we've received Jesus, then he's ours. It's up to us to reject him if we want to, but who in the world would want to? Can't imagine. So we walk with Jesus. Now, the next step then is read your Bible daily and do what it says. Joshua 1:8. Meditating on the word day and night, night and day. So, if we're saying how many times we do this, we read our Bible what? It's written right there, folks. Daily. Yes. All right. It's like God and giving us the answer, choose life or choose death. And then he tells you, choose life, choose blessings. He gives us the answer. So we're helping you out there. Read your Bible daily and not just reading it, but do what it says. This is very important. We meditate on it and we have good success when we put it to work. That's what Joshua 1:8 talks about. Okay, number three, be water baptized. Mark 16:16 talks about this, and that's something that we do how many times?
Once.
Okay. Why? Because what we're doing is we're testifying of our salvation, of our being born again, and we're taking all the old us and putting it under the water and washing it away and rising up new creations in Christ Jesus. So we want to be water baptized. And number four, attend church regularly. Hebrews 10:25 says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even as the day approaches. What? The day of the Lord, the end of days. Oh my goodness, we are already in the end of days. And this is something that we should be paying close attention to. We want to be where the anointing is. We want to be where the presence of God is. Why? Because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. You know, when we first started with healing school, we would have some people come in and we would have them share with us what their challenges were. And we would have a group of us who were in healing school, having been through some of it, to analyze the challenges that this person was having and give their evaluation based on what the Lord had been teaching them through healing school as to what they needed to change. Because obviously, if we keep on doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results. So when someone's having a challenge, there's something they're doing that they need to change. So one day, we had actually Pastor Joshua's younger brother come, Chester, and he was having problems with not being able to sleep well. He was having nightmares, and he was angry. He was in unforgiveness, and so he was just in a bad state. And we were really proud of our ABCers. The first question asked of Chester was, "Are you going to church?" Now understand, this man was an internet pastor. But was he attending church? Was he being fed? And the answer was no. And so with that advice, he decided, okay, I need to do something different here. So he found a church to go to and started going, started attending on a regular basis, and he found he really had a breakthrough in his challenges, that he was able to sleep, the nightmares went away, and of course, we taught him about unforgiveness, how you want to get rid of unforgiveness and live in forgiveness. So that was really, really huge and very special, since it was for us a family member who was able to get that breakthrough. Okay, number five, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We hear Word of God talk about it in John 1:33, Acts 2:4, Acts 19:1 through 6. God makes it very clear He wants us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So, how many times do we get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Once. All right, everybody's on board here. Once. Because once you're baptized, you've received. But now, we want to pray in tongues, because we get the gift of tongues with the evidence showing that we have the baptism. And how often do we want to pray in tongues? I heard an hour a day. I heard somebody else say daily. Yes, an hour a day is very highly recommended. So what does that mean? That means every day you're going to be praying in tongues, right? 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2 and 4 make that very clear. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together. It's like, come on, guys, get on board. He was making it clear that this was of God. And he had said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I pray in tongues a lot. So you want to do the same. And if he did, and Jesus recommended it, then yes, we want it too. In fact, we don't just pray in tongues. Ephesians 6:18 and Jude 20. Now, Jude 20 says, build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. So here's a promise that not only does it benefit the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God, but it helps us build ourselves up. And it builds up our faith, and it builds up our strength in the Lord. So if we want to pray in tongues a great deal, how often do we do that? Every day, right? Every day. We want to have a focus time. As was said, the hour a day in prayer. We want to focus on the Lord in that time. But you know what? We don't limit it to that. We want to pray in tongues all the time. When we're driving in our car, when we're in the shower, when we're washing dishes, whatever we're doing that doesn't require a high focus, like if you're working a job and you're, you know, doing accounting or something and you need to be sure you have the numbers right. But, you know, even then you can just quietly under your breath pray in tongues. Ask the Lord's guidance, make sure you get all those numbers right. Right? So it benefits us to pray in tongues always. And Ephesians 6, it says, pray always. So that's how we can pray, always. And we pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit pray through us. Okay, number eight, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, don't walk in the flesh, don't walk in the natural, walk in the Spirit by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we know where we're supposed to go, when we're supposed to go, every step of the way, Spirit-led. And how often do we do that? When we feel like it? When we remember to ask Him? All the time, right? Every single day. We want to be sure and focus on the Holy Spirit, asking Him where we go, what we do. The word, the natural secular world says that we make 25,000 decisions a day. Think about that, 25,000. That's a lot of decisions. So how many of them do we depend on the Holy Spirit for? We should be looking to Him for more and more. Get in the habit of asking Him. Get in the habit of listening for His voice and then doing what He says to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 wants us to be aligned in spirit, soul, and body. If we're aligned and we're all of me is heading the same direction, I'm not fighting with myself that my mind wants to go here and my body wants to go there and so forth, we come together in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and we follow God. I like to say with blinders on, because we don't want to look to our right or to our left. We want to focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and He's the one that leads us where we're to go. Colossians 3, verses 17 and 23 talk about living a consecrated lifestyle, where we consecrate everything to God. We're willing to give up everything for Jesus. He is our all. He is our everything. And we do this again all the time. Here's a biggie. Number 9, put a watch on your tongue. Psalm 19:14. Anybody around here hear about Psalm 19:14? Mm-hmm. Okay, very familiar scripture. Are we doing affirmations on Psalm 19:14? Because we're putting a watch on our tongue. We're asking the Holy Spirit to help us speak words that are pleasing to our God. And if they're pleasing to God, then they're going to give grace to the hearer. And that's very important. The words that we speak, so critical, because they carry a lot of power and consequence with them. Number 10, minister the gospel, especially salvation and healing. Luke 10, verses 2, 8, 9, and 19 really talk about going out and ministering, sharing Jesus, sharing the word of God. And remember, it's not up to us to save people. That's not our job. Our job is to present the gospel, and it's up to the Holy Spirit to save the people. It's up to the people, once they hear the gospel, to make that decision for themselves. But for us, we need to get it out there. We need to present it. They need to hear. They need to know about Jesus. And there's a scripture that talks about someone's blood being on your head. If you do not tell them about Jesus, that could be bad for them and maybe you. But if you at least tell them about Jesus, no matter what their decision is, no matter what they say or do, it doesn't matter. Now you are free. You have done what you were to do, what the Lord wanted you to do in sharing Jesus. And the rest of it is between that person and God. Okay, what we don't want to be is a Dead Sea. You know what happens in the Dead Sea? You know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because a river flows into it, but there's no outlet. There's no outlet. It's just everything flows in and it just stagnates there. And there's no life in the Dead Sea. There are minerals, there are rocks, there's water, but there's no life, no fish, no sea life of any kind. The Dead Sea is really dead. And we don't want to be like that. We want to have the gospel brought into us and then have it flow out from us as we meet with people. Okay, B, daily steps for divine health. Are you recognizing that this teaching is somewhat review of semester one, okay? Because we learned in semester one that healing does belong to us. right? I mean, we went over and over that. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that healing belongs to you, right? That Jesus paid the price. Okay, so Daily Steps for Divine Health was an outline that we passed out that we were given two copies of. Okay, one copy was to go in the book, and the other copy you were to put in a prominent place. How many people know where your Daily Steps for Divine Health outline is? If you had to go and look it up right now, well, when you get home, could you do it? Okay, good. I'm seeing a good response. So that's true of all of you on the internet as well. Always keep that handy. You might even want to make multiple copies and put them in different places so that, you know, no matter where you go, there's a reminder. And you want to be sure and review the list. How often? Daily, right? Why? Because this is a lifestyle that we're talking about here. It's receiving healing, but then it's continuing on in that healing. Once we receive the healing, we need to learn how to continue in it, not to let it go, not to be wishy-washy back and forth. Oh, I got my healing today. Oh, I lost my healing the next day. No, that's not how it works. We need to maintain the healing once we receive it. And so looking at that outline is helpful because it tells us where we are. Okay, what are we doing? Okay, I'm doing this and this and this. I'm not doing this one. Lord, you want me to do this one now? So you want to add to it. You want to set your goals to incorporate additional items to your lifestyle as you go. Don't feel overwhelmed and feel like you got to do the whole checklist all at one time from the get-go. One step at a time. No matter how big or how small. You remember when we played the game as kids? Mother, may I? And it's, may I take a step? But sometimes we'd say, may I take a little step? Or sometimes, may I take a giant step? But in either case, what is it? You put one foot forward, one step at a time, right? And that's how we do our Christian walk. That way it's not overwhelming. That way it's like building a strong house, that you build a strong foundation and you build each step upon the other. And remember that any step along the way, healing is available to us if we need it and seek it at that point. Okay, here's another review. C, healing methods. Okay, what two kinds of healing methods are there? Anybody? Primary and secondary, yes. And does anyone remember how many primary methods there are? Okay, there are six. Okay, and technically there are 10 secondary methods. You will notice we have a number 18 here. Two of these are like subsets of one of the 10 of this secondary. So, I am going to go through this list. I'm going to say what the method is, and I'm going to give the scripture, and then I want you to tell me, is this a primary or is this a secondary method? Okay? Number one, anointing with oil, James 5, 14, and 15. Say it out loud. Primary. Okay. Now, let's take a moment here. If that's a primary, what differentiates primary from secondary? Can anyone tell me what the focus of a primary healing method is? Okay, it's something we do one time. Okay, so anointing with oil, we anoint with oil one time. And now, by faith, we receive the healing. But maybe there's a challenge. And so we have to stand in faith in order to receive the manifestation of that healing. And that's where secondary methods come in handy, where we have to look to them and depend on them, because the secondary methods are ones that we do repeat, that we can do many times. We can do all 10 in one day. We can do 5 one day, or the other 5 the next day. But we want to keep on keeping on and pressing in to let the devil know that no way are you stealing from me. This belongs to me, and I'm going after it, and I'm receiving it. So, okay, let's go to number 2. Prayer of agreement, Matthew 18:19. Primary or secondary?
Primary.
Okay, so we had 2 primary methods in a row. Number 3, kneeling or lying, Revelation 1:17. Secondary. Okay, because this comes from worshiping God with our bodies. So, by faith we've received. Now we're thanking God, aren't we? We're loving on Him. We're worshiping Him because He's the one who's providing this for us. It belongs to us. And so to kneel or to lie before the Lord is just our way of saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Okay, number 4, prayer of affirmation, Mark 11:24. Secondary. Affirmations. We can do thousands of affirmations, and there are some who have done many. Sometimes it takes just a few. Sometimes it takes thousands. We know of a nurse who, like unfortunately many of her cohorts at this particular hospital, came down with scabies. And that's a very horrendous disease, and it's something that it takes 1 month solid of medication in order to combat. And medical science doesn't know how to do it any other way. They say you take this every day for 30 days, and if that isn't long enough, then we'll continue the treatment. But it's a minimum in their minds of 30 days. And this nurse, who was a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, knew how to pray in tongues, been through healing school, knew about affirmations, knew to confess her sins and claim her healing for scabies, because she knew scabies was one of those things that Jesus had paid the price for in full and complete, and that healing belonged to her, and she didn't have to do it the natural way. She wanted to do it God's way. So she started saying, I've been healed from scabies by the stripes of Jesus. And I believe she did like about 600 or so one day, and symptoms all went away. She went back to work, and then the next day the symptoms came back. And she's like, okay, we're going to hit this really hard. So I believe she did 3,000 affirmations the next day. And the symptoms left, and they never came back. So within 2-3 days, she was free of scabies, where the rest of the nurses and doctors were still taking the medication, still suffering the symptoms. So Jesus' way, I love God's medication. God's medicine is so wonderful. There's no drug interaction. There's no side effects. There are no, you see these advertisements on TV for medicine. Oh my gosh, there's a caveat list about yay long of all the things that it might do to you as a side effect. You know, here's what they want it to do, but it might do this or this or this. And sometimes it'll even say or cause death. Why would you want to take that? God's medication is so natural, so wonderful. But notice the difference. Man's medication you take in your mouth. God's medication you speak out of your mouth. Out of the innermost being come the power of God for us. Okay, number 5, praise and worship, Psalm 8:2.
Secondary
method, yes. Fasting, number 6, Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 8.
Secondary.
Number 7, breaking curses, Matthew 12:29.
Secondary.
Dancing. Psalm 154, yes, secondary. Prayer of faith, Mark 11:24. Primary, because the prayer of faith, we want to pray one time, right? Anytime you take any of these primaries, if you were to go back and do it a second time, basically you're undoing the first time. You're saying, I didn't really believe that that is going to work. So I'm going to try again. I'm going to hope it works this time. When we do it a second time with a primary method, that's what we're doing. So one time only for the primaries. Number 10, confessing your sins, James 5:16. Secondary. And this is something we do not only daily, but many times through the day, right? To keep ourselves under that hedge of protection of the blood of Jesus. 11, singing, Ephesians 5:19. We sing in our native language and we sing in the spirit. And this is secondary. Amen. Okay. 12, laying on of hands, Mark 16:18. Primary. 13, communion, 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. Secondary. Very good. Praying in tongues, Romans 8:26 says, when you don't know how to pray, you pray in the spirit. So this is secondary, because we can do this a lot. Okay, 15, gifts of the Holy Spirit as laid out in 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. This is a primary, right? Again, somebody operating under the gifts of the Spirit. This is a primary means. Number 16, the prayer of authority, Mark 16:17. Primary, prayer of authority. We're just standing in the stead of Jesus, using his name and commanding, taking our authority of the situation. Hallelujah. Number 17, lifting hands, 1 Timothy 2:8. Secondary, again, this is part of worship. Number 18, reading the Bible aloud, Joshua 1:8. Secondary. Okay, very good. Excellent review. Everybody's really remembering what you learned on this. That's absolutely great. Okay, now D, the profession of your faith. And this is talking about affirmations. Why do we do affirmations, right? Number one purpose, we want to thank God. We are so grateful. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful to God for Jesus, for taking those whippings for me, for paying the price for sickness and disease, infirmity and pain for me. I am so grateful, and I just want to thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Woohoo! Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So thank you, God. And who remembers the teaching on 40 other reasons? Well, that's something we need to remember. And you know, if there are 40, there are probably 400. It's the Word of God is making it clear to us that speaking the Word of God is powerful. And speaking the Word of God over ourselves, we're agreeing with what God is saying about us, and that's the way it should be. In the context, when you believe that you have received, then you want to release actions. You release your faith through action, a faith action plan. Because faith doesn't do us any good if it's just stuck in our heads. It's got to come out. It's got to have something that backs it up, that shows heaven, hell, and earth, this is what I believe, and this is how it's going to be. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the process, number 3, we confess our sins before starting. We always want to confess sins first because we want the power of God to be working with us and not against us. If we're in sin, God, the Holy Spirit, is lifted off us, And we need to get back in that hedge of protection. We need to get back together in that partnership with God, with the Holy Spirit working with us. And then when we do this, we always want to include the name of Jesus. That's our power, folks. That's the key. If you had a lockbox somewhere and you had $1 million in it, that lockbox has a key. And there's only one key that opens that lockbox. And I'll bet you're going to know where that key is, right? And you're going to use that key because that's how you access the $1 million in that lockbox. Well, the name of Jesus is the key that we need to use. He's the authority. He's the power. He's the one that paid the price, and he's the one that said, you go in my name now. You use my name. We use the name of Jesus, and we receive the benefits of the will. Remember that we also need to pray aloud. Now, it can be just a whisper. Doesn't have to be a shout. It can be anywhere between little decibel or big decibels. But it needs to be out loud because we need heaven, hell, and earth to hear us. Because I tell you, the angels are not mind readers, neither is the devil. He needs to know where we stand, and we need to make it very clear to him when we say these things out loud. And D, count them. Count them, count them, count them. Counting is very important. You know, we've had people come to us and say, oh, well, I just walk around all day doing affirmations. Well, how many are you doing? I don't know, a lot. I know somebody that decided to pay more attention and decided that they weren't doing as many as they thought they were because they were getting a lot of distractions. They'd start doing the affirmations and then somebody would talk to them or something would happen, you know? And so when you're counting, you're very focused. You're focused on your healing. You're focused on receiving your healing. And when you know exactly how many you've been doing, if things aren't going quite the way you expected, and you come to Pastor and say, Pastor, what do I do? And he can ask, well, have you been doing affirmations? Yes. How many have you been doing? Well, I've been doing, 100 a day of I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay, well, maybe you need to increase to 200 a day. You see, if you don't know how many you're doing, he doesn't know whether to tell you to do more or do fewer. And making sure we get the affirmations correctly is also very important, too. Sometimes it's just a little tweak. We find we've slipped, and it's not quite as powerful as it should be. So we want to keep in mind those things. So we want to track them, both the frequency and the quantity. We had a lady at ABC some years ago, whose name was Louise, very sweet lady. And she was highly challenged, and she, for a season, had to be on a walker. But she had been used to doing a lot of walking outside, and she wasn't liking being on this walker. So she decided that she was going to receive her healing through doing a lot of affirmations. She was going to break through with affirmations. Louise kept a book. She kept a journal. And in it, you could say, well, last Thursday. And she turned to last Thursday, and she'd have it marked down. Okay, I did these 4 different affirmations, and I did 100 of this one, and 200 of that one, and 300 of that one, and 50 of this one. She could tell you exactly what she did every day, and she kept that record for quite a long time. And guess what? In the process of doing these, she progressed. She was able to get off the walker and step outside. And then she was able to walk a little bit. And then she walked farther and farther. She was able to go up to walking 2 miles a day, without the walker, of course. And so she was very excited and a wonderful testimonial for tracking your affirmations, the frequency and quantity of them. Now, I'd like to close with a testimony of three ladies. Three ladies who were all challenged with the same attack from the enemy. It was a gallbladder attack. And I have to tell you that this is Pathways to Healing. Do you know all three of these ladies received their healing? But they all received it in a totally different way. Two of the ladies were together at an ABC meeting that we had, and we prayed for the two of them. And there was another time, I think maybe subsequent to this, that it was about 3:00 in the morning, we got a phone call, and there was somebody on the phone screaming in pain. Gallbladder challenge can be very painful. And this person was screaming, asking for prayer, asking for help. And then, lo and behold, there was a call waiting at 3:00 in the morning. And it turned out to be a second person going through the same challenge with the gallbladder. And she was screaming. So Pastor Josh was going back and forth from one call to the other call, ministering healing to the two different ladies. Now, let me go back to the original three, because we've had more than three that have been challenged with gallbladder challenges. Of the ones that were here at the meeting, I'll come back to. One of the ones that called, she got her healing that night. She was free from pain, but she was going through a battle. She wanted to do her spiritual warfare all the way, and she would get her victory. And then maybe a couple weeks later, she might call again, and there was another attack. And so we battled with her through that. And there were a number of different phone calls over a period of time, but she kept fighting, she kept pressing in, and we kept praying and agreeing with her, and there came the time when she received complete healing. And that was very exciting, but she had to work at it. And it never came back then. After that last time, never another attack of gallbladder. It was totally, absolutely healed. She had done its spiritual warfare, and it worked. It took time, it took effort, but it worked, right? When we do things God's way. Now, of the other two ladies, the two that were at that meeting that were prayed for, one of them already had surgery scheduled for the following week. And so she decided she'd go ahead and have the surgery. So she was totally free from gallbladder challenges through surgery, through man's medical way. The other one received an instant manifestation of healing. So amazed, just so excited. And she said, okay, I believe that I've received, and now I'm going to prove it. Because when I had chocolate cake, that would always cause it to flare up. So she said, I believe I've been healed from gallbladder challenges, and I'm going to make me some chocolate cake. So she baked herself a chocolate cake, and she, I think she was wise. I don't think she ate the whole cake, but I think she had probably a pretty big piece. And she just savored every bite and enjoyed it to the max, because there was never any pain. She, in fact, had been totally healed instantaneously. She believed it, she received it, and we rejoiced with her. So here were three different women receiving healing three different ways. God meets us wherever we are. Whatever we can believe in, whatever we can stand for, whatever we're willing to press in for, that is where He will meet us. The two ladies in the meeting were prayed for healing and received healing. All pain left, and they were healed that evening. Of the two ladies on the phone, by the time they hung up, all pain had left. Now, what happens subsequent to that is what determines what happens subsequent to that. Very honestly. We've seen it before where people said, oh, I was healed. They know they were healed. But if they had surgery scheduled, for some reason they felt obligated to go ahead with it. So occasionally we've had that happen, once or twice that I can remember. But what if they had canceled the surgery? They believe they were healed by the stripes of Jesus? I don't need surgery. Sorry, doctor, I've already been healed. Don't need you anymore. You know, they could have done that, but their actions, their words, their attitudes, their expectations, subsequent to being prayed for and being healed and being set free from the pain. Because that's a big deal with gallbladder, is the pain. And when that's gone, whoa. So you understand how this all works. So it's not just a matter of where you are today, it's how you receive and what you do with it that determines the ensuing results. Are you going to keep your healing, or are you going to let it go? Okay, just food for thought, because we'll be getting more into how you keep your healing with Healing School modules. Okay? Okay, honey? Did I answer you?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, so this is Pathways to Healing. What is your pathway? What are your stepping stones? Be ready to receive from Jesus every step along the way, because he's there ready to meet you. Amen. Amen.
I just wanted to take the opportunity to talk about those four ladies who were challenged with gallbladders, because as Sarah said, gallbladders can be very, very painful. And look at it from a different perspective. Two ladies at the meeting got prayed for, they both got healed, and that the symptoms left, they were pain-free. Now, what did they do? One went home, hadn't had chocolate cake for a long, long time, because it always triggered the pain. So she made a huge cake and ate a big part. As a major step in faith, I've been healed, I can eat chocolate cake. That was a faith action plan. She did it. That person never again had challenges with gallbladder. The second person also went home, no pain, no symptom. But she already had surgery scheduled, so she proceeded to have the gallbladder removed. She also never again had challenges with her gallbladder. The third person on the phone, we're not going to pursue the fourth person. The third person on the phone, both persons on the phone got their healing manifestation before they got off the phone. I think it took about an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, from 3 to 4 in the morning, jumping back and forth between the two calls. First thing was to get them down to the point where they weren't screaming. Okay. Number three, got a manifestation on the phone, but didn't do anything. She did not do any major faith action plan. She did not do any maintenance affirmation. She did nothing. But when the challenge came back, she fought through it again. And again after that, didn't do any maintenance affirmations, didn't do any faith plan. She waited till it came back the third time. And I don't know how many times she went through it, 4, 5, 6 times. But each time she fought it off, and then the last time when she fought it off, it never came back. Three different ways of getting your healing, as Pastor Sarah was saying. Okay? So, anyway, I thought that's a good way of looking at from the point of view of what you do afterwards in terms of the maintenance affirmations and the great step in faith. Okay? Thank you very much.
Okay, a couple of things related to some of the other documents in your packet tonight. The very last page in your packet, this is kind of a wrap-up for semester one, and that is the table of contents. So this is a table of contents that you can put in your with your documents for semester one. Now, one of the things you'll see on here is the date that it was taught. You should find that helpful if you want to go back and watch on the internet. Just make it a little bit easier to find instead of scanning through a bunch of different months. So anyway, that's on there for that. And of course, that can be helpful in finding it in your paper notes as well. Okay, so let's go now to the homework. Most of it's pretty self-explanatory. I do want to focus a little bit on number three. Last semester, as we processed through the semester, we broke curses, confessed sins and broke curses on a variety of different topics throughout the whole of Healing School Semester 1. We're going to be doing the same thing this semester 2. And the first one we're going to start with is sexual sins, which we're going to start with on Sunday. Now, you may be asking yourself, well, wait a second. We did sexual sins last time. How are we supposed to do that? Well, that's a good question. Thank you for asking that question. So now, if you'll turn to the next page, it's called Understanding Curse Breaking. So we are going to be going through some of the same topics, but the idea is for us to go deeper and deeper. I'm not going to take the time to go through this whole sheet here. That would take more time than we want to spend with it. But if you'll look under the process and part A, here's kind of the way that it works. So start with your current most recent sins. What sins do you find yourself committing the most? Put them into sin categories. For example, fear, offense, unforgiveness, anger, etc. Then take one of the categories, such as fear. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit, the Lord, to show you ways in which fear is affecting your life and try to identify high-level categories, fear of man, fear of failure, fear of dogs, fear of poverty, etc. And then go and break those curses using the prayer. Then letter B, next, after breaking curses for high level, focus on the details as God bring back to your memory previous times that you've committed sins within a particular category. So the idea with this is that we go deeper each time so that what we're trying to do is get back to identifying some of the first sins in a category. So you may find that you have a lot of fear. Let's say it's a fear of failure. It's a fear of failure, and it's been kind of plaguing you. It's like you don't want to try things. You keep hesitating on your job or whatever it might be, things that need to be done. You're afraid of failure. So you've seen this pattern, and you're trying to identify it, right? So you start with, well, what is it I'm doing right now in my life that is causing that sin or causing me to sin in that area? So you deal with that. But then you think, well, wait a second. What about when, you know, when I first started in work in my career, was there some of those things showing up? And you begin to see, yeah, wait a second. There were some times where, you know, I saw that sin manifesting in different areas there. So you deal with that. And then you go back, and then finally you get to that point where you remember, oh yeah, I was 7 years old. I was in the second grade, and this opportunity came up. You know, there was something in class or whatever, and I tried to do it, and I didn't do it, and everybody laughed at me. So now you have this situation where it festered, this feeling of a fear of failing. And so it's persisted throughout your life. So what you're doing is, onion layer by onion layer, as we like to talk about around here, you're peeling those things back. So this particular week, we're going to be dealing with sexual sins. So you may have done, I'm sure you did those last time, but now go deeper. Where did those things come from? Where do those attitudes, the way you look at people, where do those attitudes come from? And go back and dig those things up and just ask the Lord to help you, to show you things so that we can go deeper and deeper. Because as we do that, we begin to deal with the sins in our life. We begin to, begin to cut off the demonic influences in our life more and more. So, you know how when we pray or we confess our sins, the CRRB, we're confessing our sins, we're repenting, but then we're also renouncing the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind those sins and their legal right to have access to our life as a result of those sins, and we're cutting off or breaking all the ties with those demons, devils, and evil spirits that have access to our life because of our sins. So we're breaking those things, we're renouncing and breaking. Well, the less that we're doing the sins, the less inroads they have into our life, which is what we're trying to do, and break the strongholds in our life, which we'll work on throughout this semester and on into semester three. So anyway, go ahead and read through that on your own time, and I think you'll find that helpful in terms of understanding. So the more specific that you can get in confessing sins and breaking curses. Now, remember, you're wanting to look for specific sins, something that you did. Now, sometimes it could be a thought, sometimes it could be an attitude, could be an action, could be words that you keep saying, could be self-talk, it could be things that you've said in your life. We just want to take it, again, deeper and deeper.